I'm Blake Hardcastle. This is the Stories You've Missed podcast. Welcome back to the podcast Stories You've Missed. My guests today are Al and Nancy Williams. Al grew up in Waco, Texas, and worked for Texas Instruments for over 3 decades. He's a graduate of Texas A&M and loves all things Aggies. This is maybe the obligatory whoop. Is that what you guys?
Whoop.
There it is. And he even likes jokes. He loves sports and played competitive leagues to his 40s. Nancy is from Shreveport, Louisiana, and she's been working as a dental hygienist for almost 40 years. She enjoys the beach, vintage artistry, and sewing. And Al and Nancy have been married for 38 years. They have 2 adult children and 1 grandchild. Welcome, Al and Nancy.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
So you guys are joining me to explore how you've experienced God's grace in the process of adoption. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this could probably be a long discussion. Maybe you had long discussions with people. We're just going to do, 10 or 15 minutes here. So give us a little bit of insight into how did you know God was leading you to adoption?
Well, it goes all the way back to when I was in high school, and I just felt this amazing, enthusiasm about adoption. Hmm. And I used to run around and tell my friends, don't you think adoption is the coolest thing? And they would look at me like, woman, you have lost your mind.
Were you the only person saying this at the
yes,
time?
Yeah. Yes. And I really, at the time, had a heart for special needs adoption. So wow. I really envisioned myself as adopting a special needs child yeah. of some type. But, and then, the years went on. I just always thought it was a really cool idea. And then Al and I got married.
And by the way, I didn't have that same feeling when I was in high school. But God does amazing work in lives. So I did not know that. And so, but I'll pick up with the story here. We got married in 1981. And we're married for a few years, and then the discussion about children came up, and we had no idea that we were going to have infertility issues and stuff. But we also, going through that, I had no idea really until we started really get into this about Nancy's heart for so many years, because I did not share the idea of adoption.
Let me just interrupt you. So in dating, you weren't aware. Oh, Nancy's definitely adopting at least one kid. That's definitely happening.
It did. It probably did come up. I just didn't see it as a future reality necessarily. But yes, I mean we knew
we
each
did
other.
Discuss that.
Yes, we knew each other well enough to know mm-hmm. that some things like that. But mm-hmm. Nancy had a lot of ideas it definitely was not a shock. But when the rubber met the road, when the time came. Then I felt God working in my heart. Okay. It was important to her, and when we started the conversation about approaching the idea of adoption, I think I came around fairly quickly. Like, this is what God's doing.
So neither one of you felt like, okay, I have to. I got trapped by God in the Bible. This is something He put in you. That this is the delight for you.
I felt that Al thought it was at one time, it was a last resort, sort of, because we went through a lot of fertility issues and some painful things, miscarriages. Mm-hmm. And so there were some heartbreaking situations. And so I think it took you a little while to come around.
And that's fair. That's fair, because we did go through, we went through some very painful times. But once we came to the point to where, and we had exhausted, we were not going to go do everything known to mankind medically.
Right.
It was not, I wasn't, either I'm too cheap or I was more faithful. I'm not sure which is why, but it doesn't matter now. But it turned out to be, and then when we started going to some of the seminars and starting to kind of see I started getting more comfortable with the whole idea. And then it felt like that we were moving that together in that direction.
Yeah. And we'll just go ahead and give props to the organization you guys went through, and I think you're still in some ways connected or supportive of.
Mm-hmm. It was Methodist Mission Home, and at the time, I don't think they're under that title anymore.
I believe Blake is referring to, yes, it was Methodist Mission Home, there was a couple of it. We have 2 adoptions in our in our life, and so with our son Reed, it was through the Lifehouse that we have the connection with.
Yeah.
But it was still through the Methodist Mission Home.
Yeah.
Our first child, our daughter, it was through the Methodist Mission Home, but Lifehouse was not involved in that whatsoever.
That time. Yeah.
It was strictly through the agency.
Yeah.
quick story on that, if I can, just real quick. I remember the day we picked up our precious daughter. And
how old was she?
She was 6 weeks old.
Okay.
And we go down there. They call us on a Wednesday. Said, hey, now we'd not have been on the waiting list very long. And they said, listen, how would you like to come down to San Antonio and pick up a precious little daughter? And how about like Friday?
So that was 2 days.
It was on a Wednesday.
This is Wednesday. We have really not made many preparations. And so it was a surreal experience.
Mm. Yes.
And
she was 6 weeks old. And so we drove down on that Friday.
So you went to work Thursday.
Yes, I went to work Thursday.
I took off Friday.
You took off, okay.
And we
you
had
slept
not,
a whole lot or didn't sleep in much at all?
We had not done really one thing to prepare for a baby. We didn't know anything about parenting. We didn't have diapers. We had nothing. Yeah. But we showed up happy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the birth parents were there, and they placed her in our arms.
Wow.
And it was...
Wow.
Most amazing.
That's symbolic.
Experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
And we actually got to meet the two birth parents.
Mm-hmm.
Two young, very young.
Yeah.
Very young people. And but I got to tell a quick story. So we go through all this stuff again. It was like an out of body experience. But so when we finally leave, they say, "Well, okay, it's time. You know, you're leaving." And we took the little precious Molly, our baby, and put her in the back seat. And we're like. And we kind of felt like it seemed illegal or something. We were just driving away with a baby. And so we get down the road. I stop. I remember stopping and say, I look at Nancy. She looks at me. I said, what have we done? In a great way, but it was kind of
I got a surge of anxiety.
Yeah.
Because I had this sudden realization that I had not really thought through about the reality and the overwhelming heaviness of that now I'm responsible for. Yeah. At least 18 years.
and the only time...
But for sure, tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, 18
exactly.
years, I can get through tonight. Yeah.
Okay, one last story about that. We're driving back from San Antonio to Houston. The only time I've really spoken into how we raise our children in terms of like food and things like that was on that trip. We're driving back. Molly's screaming at the top of her lungs. And they gave us one bottle for the drive home. And Nancy starts worrying about, well, is it good? I hadn't been cold. Is it good? I said, listen, she's been screaming for 2 hours. Stick it in her mouth.
Okay, not 2 hours.
Okay, I stretched
like
a little.
Maybe 15,
okay, maybe 15.
20 minutes.
But there's no cell phones at this point
no.
where you can call somebody
no.
or
exactly.
call your own parents.
Exactly.
Hey, how'd you do this?
No.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No.
So we fed her the bottle. She didn't get sick. It was fine. And, you know, after that, I got a lot of information from friends and family.
And that was over 30 years ago, 31?
31.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, God's timing, he didn't give you a long on-ramp to warm up and stretch and paint.
Mm-hmm.
Did he leave you abandoned? Did he give you this baby? And
he did not leave us abandoned. It was a little stressful, but it was beautiful. It was the most incredible experience to think. I mean, when they placed their birth child in our arms, to care for, you know, and to for us to just love on and care for. It was an amazing experience, and I am just forever grateful for that.
Our testimony is that we really truly believe that God had her in our home from the foundation of the world. And so it took a while for us to grow into it. I mean, we knew it, but we saw the evidence of that throughout our lifetime. And hey, there's been some bumps and bruises. Mm-hmm. We all have bumps and bruises, but we thank God that He thought well enough of us to take that responsibility of her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you have a girl, and at some point you go through the whole process again.
Right.
Now the process, at least my limited knowledge, is a home study usually, or somebody comes to look and see. Mm-hmm. Should a baby be placed here or not?
So right.
Somebody checks
study,
on you.
Yes.
And you're vetted, and it's paperwork and all the rest. And so you go through this whole process again. Okay.
Actually, Nancy, why don't you explain, because you could do it a little bit better. The first time was not an open adoption.
Okay.
From
and
Molly,
describe for listeners what an open versus a closed adoption is.
Well.
And it wasn't closed. It was semi.
Okay.
Closed or semi open. And so with that one, with our first, with Molly, it was, we could keep in touch with the birth parents, but it was through the agency. We didn't know the birth parents' last name, and we knew very little about them. We kind of knew where they, the town they were from. But so we had to, all communication went mm-hmm. through the agency. So we, letters, pictures, that kind of thing. So we communicated that way, but it was limited information. And so then with the second time, when we went to the meeting, they said, well, now it's
semi-disclosed. Semi-disclosed.
Well, that was it was semi-disclosed, but they said now this is going to be open adoption.
Oh, okay. I'm
is
sorry.
Basically
okay.
the way they presented
yeah,
it to
right.
us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they said, but since you two have already adopted through the agency, you can have the choice to have semi-disclosure. And so we left the meeting, and in my mind, because Al's a very conservative guy who doesn't, like, I'm a free thinker. I'm like, yeah, let's try it. We'll do it. But Al's, he's more cautious about things. And so we left the meeting, and I'm thinking he'll never go for open. And they said you might have to wait longer if you do the mm-hmm. semi-disclosure because yeah. birth parents kind of like the yeah. open. And so we just left, and we said, well, let's just pray about this. Mm-hmm. Let's pray about it together, but we'll pray about it separately, and then we'll come back and talk about it. And so we did that. And when we came back together to talk about it, he said, yeah, let's just make this a faith walk. Let's mm-hmm. do the open.
And had God, you know, wrote on a wall, burned a bush? How did he make this clear to you? How did you have a sense of, we have peace going in this direction?
Well, I had peace about it because I just, you know, kind of, I dive into water yeah. and then worry about the details later.
I adopt babies and figure out the nursery later. Yeah.
Well, and I think to add to that, I think that it was clear to us that he's already been moving in our lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, stuff, it's just a faith walk it's like a marathon. We just continue to say, trust him that this is the route to go. And actually maybe we can get into this a little bit later, but maybe just now through the open adoption, there are different things to consider. I mean, because you really, I don't know if we need to tell the story about when that 17-year-old called the house and said, listen, I'd like to come to your house tomorrow afternoon if I can, because I have chosen you guys.
Oh.
And, well, that was after she and I, our initial yes. conversation was 4 hours. She called me one day.
This is the second adoption.
The second adoption.
And I think you'd wrote a letter to a prospective parent.
Yes.
Correct. Here's what our family's
mother,
like.
Dear
yeah.
birth mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 And so she prayed over the letter. Her story is that she received this book of letters from couples that want
yeah.
to adopt. Mm-hmm. And that she just prayed over the book. She's a very strong Christian mm-hmm. woman. And young, very young at the time. And so she said she prayed over the book, and then she came upon our letters that we had written and just was really taken by him. And so she called me, and she said, I'm considering adoption. I wanted to talk to you. And I said, I'm so nervous. I can't believe, I don't even know what to say to you. I'm so, mm-hmm. you know, I've been waiting for a phone call like this, but I just really don't know what
to
say.
But you thought it would come from the agency, not a birth
well,
mom?
Well, I did not know how okay. it would come, and yeah. I knew it might come, but I was answering the phone at 2 o'clock yeah. in the afternoon, just thinking it might be a friend.
Right.
It was before caller ID,
right.
so
right.
I didn't know. And but she said, me saying that, just because she said, I'm so nervous too. And she was able to be real about,
yeah.
you know, everything.
Yeah.
And then we proceeded to talk for, I think it was about 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And we just hit it off.
Yeah.
And then the next day I did pick her up, and then she came to our home to visit.
The most beautiful thing, as Nancy stated, she was a strong Christian. She had made by her own admissions, had made some
yeah.
poor decisions leading up to, she wasn't even from the state of Texas. It's kind of, you talk about how God connects all the dots many times. She happened to be in the Houston area at the time at Lifehouse, and with this type of an open adoption, you talk about a faith walk. I mean, because anywhere along the way, mm-hmm. the wheels can come off from any direction, and so
yeah.
you just walk through it day by day.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about really walking day by day in faith because you just don't know. So this was like she was 7 months pregnant. I think it's time or
six to seven.
So we went through a relationship, and it all the way to the time of the birth,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it just, she stayed steadfast,
mm-hmm.
and we stayed as we tried to keep the proper
boundaries
along the way.
You have feelings like, what if she changes her
mind?
Oh,
yeah.
And those come fleeting. They flood through
mm-hmm.
and like a tornado come through and bowl you over, and then they leave. And
exactly.
Yeah.
We wanted to be excited about the possibility that we would be having a
yeah.
baby in
yeah.
our lives, but we also were terrified.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, it was a faith walk. So
yeah.
we were just, you know, praying through the process.
In the day that our son was born, down at Herman Hospital here in Houston, we're still, I mean, we, It happens, 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And I think within 3 hours, she had called us and said, would you like to come up? And we said, you know, we're going to give you a little more space. Mm-hmm. We'll come up a little later and stuff. Because she was so steadfast. I mean, in terms of, you know, I'm carrying this precious one, but this baby is going to be
your baby.
Your baby.
Yeah.
And so she was awesome. And she's still awesome. As you well know the story, we've been able to tell the story way more publicly. Yeah. And we still have a relationship with her. So I tell people all the time, you know, one of the things that, about the kind of fears and the things that I think one of the questions that you may bring up later about some of the lies or the things that might worry you is we just considered this just if it was open, we got to know a lot of people around her. And I mean, we just didn't fear. These were just additional relationships. We didn't fear that it was a competition. Mm-hmm. It was just more relationships.
Yeah.
And what do we have to fear? And we're 30 years into this, and we still, God has been faithful, and it's been a beautiful thing. So
it has.
What scripture was important, or maybe still important, as you think about your experience of adoption? You know, you mentioned this was a pretty significant and long-term test of our faith.
Well, one that comes to my mind as you're looking it up, Nancy, I was just thinking about all the places in the Bible that talks about wait. You know, in Psalm 27, 14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord.
Yeah. You know, that's brings up something important, which sometimes we misinterpret events and think, well, if it didn't happen right away, God must not be in it. Or if I have to wait for it, it must be man-made, not the Holy Spirit must not be involved in this. And that's not the case at all. As you said, the scripture is pretty clear. God does a lot of work on us in the waiting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And also the 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, and so that was like we even though we had a longing for a baby, we also were just the walk, you know, the journey, and we had our daughter, and we were just we were just grateful for the opportunity, and we were ministering to this young woman at the same time while this was all going on, trying to befriend her, and you know, and help her make the best decision for her life, because it wasn't all about us in that path.
You know, I think about a couple different kinds of people who could be listening to this. So one I think about is someone. Maybe they're a couple in their 20s and they're struggling with fertility and they're frustrated and scared and all, you know, 10 other emotions. What would you say to them about adoption? If this is kind of the one of the things where, well, I guess that's an option. Is that, you know, second bet? What would you say to them?
I would say, well, it's been beautiful for us. It's been a journey. It's like anything in life. What you go into it thinking it's going to be, it doesn't really kind of go that way all the time. But for us, I just was trusting, and I hope that they would too, that the Lord would lead them to the right. You know, I think the Lord puts that desire for a family in your heart.
Yeah.
And I think that He needs some people to have birth children. He needs some people to have children that are adopted, and that we need to listen to the Lord for what, you know, and he'll set your heart right for it if it's the right thing, you know, if he wants you on that path. And he'll give you the skills. He'll give you the skills, and he'll give you the strength, because there were tricky things about, especially with the open adoption. There were, you know, I mean, I had to be very conscious of our son's birth mother and her feelings. And we talked, she and I became very, very close through the years, and would talk, you know, hours at a time. And she would ask me, she went on to have children, and she'd ask me, well, how do you parent your children? And I was always so touched by her, you know, referring to her birth son as my child.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, just beautiful. But I would just say to them, just pray about it and just trust that the Lord's gonna, you know, lead you. And if both people aren't, you know, on the same page with it, It can happen, because it did, you know.
Quick story. We were in a seminar, an adoption seminar, and there's like six or seven couples in there, and there was one couple. I could tell that they were not equally yoked in this area. And I'm not to offend any engineers that are listening right now, but I've always thought the guy was an engineer because he asked about a million questions.
Yeah.
And it was obvious to me that he was trying to remove all risk of this process. And I think the guy that that facilitated it was an older gentleman who was a seasoned veteran. He said, "Sir, if you're asking me to take all risk out of this process, I can't do that. But I'll tell you, if you had birth children, there's going to be a lot of risk in that too." Mm-hmm. He said it more eloquently than I just did. But I think that kind of plays into what Nancy said about adoption. I think it is. You just got to understand what it is. But I look at it as you know, biblically, we're adopted sons of the Most High.
Yes.
And there's it's a high place, and we're all adopted. Mm-hmm. And to think of it in those terms that we chose to adopt, but God chose to adopt us as His son and daughter. Yeah. And so it's not the blood, it's the relationship in terms of that. Now, the blood of Christ, but I'm talking about birth versus adoption. Yeah. It is a powerful thing, and I would encourage a young couple to always consider that the mother and father are the ones that rear the child, love the child, bring the child up into the love and reverence of God. That's the mom and dad.
Yeah. What would you say? I think about a young girl maybe, or a young couple, and they found themselves pregnant, and maybe not unlike some of the girls that you guys connected with here. Now, I don't think we're saying, hey, every young person, you need to give a baby up for adoption. But what would you say to someone in that case?
It is such a personal decision, you know, and I would say just, pray fervently. Mm-hmm. And I think that, and just know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
I would say research, and read and study and talk to people that have been through it from both sides.
Yeah.
Single parenting, if that's the way it's looking for, mm-hmm. some unexpected pregnancies, mm-hmm. that is a very difficult road. Know what you're getting into, but I'm, I can't emphasize enough, just, if they're a believer, just pray, seek the Lord's will for that.
And though difficult, they're a believer, they have access to all of God's strength to face all these challenges.
Exactly.
I want to ask you two more things. Really, it's kind of the same question for two different people. One is, if you could sum up, what have you learned about God, or how has He revealed Himself to you through this experience?
Well, for me, I think he's given me the strength and patience when I've needed it, and just the assurance that like I said, from getting back a few minutes ago, our testimony being that we're firmly convinced that he had our children picked out for us from the foundation, and it's our responsibility to do our part and to be faithful in that, and so I just see it through all kinds of. Confirmation of just a piece about it, and challenges clearly, but I feel like, and I give Nancy most credit for because she's got a much better let's see, how can I say this delicately, she handles some of the things better in the moment with conflict and things like that, but
she's a good shock absorber.
She is but we both recognize the fact that God thought that we were the ones, and so we're just trying to do our part and pick up and go with it. But I've never looked back, and we've never regretted it, even in the valleys.
Yeah.
How
would you sum that up? For a kid, so someone, I'm thinking second, third grader, 9 years old. How would you sum that up for them? That lesson.
The lesson of adoption,
adoption, or your story of look, God has been sovereign in this, and that this is our kid, always was our kid, and everything from what are we doing? We're driving home. We don't have a crib. We have a nurse. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. How have we been so irresponsible for 6 weeks now? Mm-hmm. and so here you are, mm-hmm.
If those two kids, those 20-year-olds or so in that car driving from San Antonio could see this room now with you two, you'd be like, relax. It's going to be fine. It's going to be what would you say to yourself?
Well, I mean, I'm glad you framed it like it. It makes me think it's like our walk with God every day. You take it one day at a time. Mm. You trust Him one day at a time. And you know, I'll be honest with you, with everything we've talked about so far here, I think with a non-believer, I don't know how they would approach some of these things and how they would handle some of the riskier things or some of the things that may. But I mean, if you just walk with Him day by day, and even like I said, even the valleys, He's there with you and with He's been with me, and I know He's been with Nancy, and so I would just say, just take it one step at a time. Walk with Him, delight in Him, and He'll guide your path.
Yeah.
This is slightly off the path, but my vision of having children, having babies, was all you had to do was love them, lead them to the Lord, and you'd live happily ever after. They would accept your teaching. They would accept what you know. And I was very naive about that. But, you know, the Lord saw us through. You know, every step of the way, and He gave us the tools we needed. He gave us the strength we needed. And it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Adoption was different in the respect that there's a lot of genetic differences that you actually have. And I just didn't really think through all of that. However, it wouldn't have changed anything.
Not worse.
That's right. Yeah. And it is different. And actually, that's what I had been thinking about. That a lot of times people, when they find out that we have adopted, they say, oh, that's so good of y'all that y'all did that. And I said, no, it's not, it wasn't a second choice. Mm-hmm. This was God's plan for us. Mm-hmm. This is, it's not like, oh, well, we couldn't have kids, so we'll adopt. This was, I mean, we're the blessed ones. We're the ones that got the, you know, God's grace on this. And so we, you know, that's the part that I have through the years, I see that people are confused about because it's my first choice because it was God's choice for us.
I think that's a great place for us to pause here. I want to thank you guys for being here and sharing this story. Thank you for listening. And do us a favor and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have suggestions for other stories, contact me at blake@grandparkway.org. And I think if you are curious about adoption or what God may or may not be saying to you about it, Al and Nancy, you guys would be open to his conversations.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
You feel like you would love some one-on-one, one-on-two.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you,
Blake. Thank you, Blake.